Hello, my name is Anna Porter and I'm the senior pastor here at Kingdom Culture Church, and you're listening to the KCC podcast. Today is Easter Sunday and the message that you're about to listen to is delivered by my husband Fred, and I know that you are going to get so much from it. So sit back and get ready to receive.
I want to speak to you this morning from the subject, It Changed Everything. It changed everything. Easter's great as a preacher because every year the sermon is pretty similar. I think that, and obviously I've prepped and I've tried to find some fun, creative things, but really this season needs no editing. It needs no add-on. Jesus isn't in the tomb, and that's the best sermon ever. And so I'm not going to try and get all fancy this morning. We're just going to celebrate the fact that he is risen, and that because he's risen in our life, in our journey, in our walk, everything's changed. I also wanted to highlight one more thing quickly. I know I need to preach, but we obviously didn't have a Good Friday service. We've got one service today. And really, I guess what we're doing is we're saying goodbye to the season we were in. Maybe a bit smaller, you could get away with it, but I want to encourage you, next year we'll be here on, well, maybe not here, hopefully in a new place, but we'll be in church on Good Friday, we'll be in church multiple times on Sunday, and we're really going to create space for the community to meet Jesus. And so if you were going, why only one service? Well, we're just grieving the small to medium church life, but next year we're going to go for it. So, okay, it changes everything. I think it's important to note that the resurrection is real. It's important to note that it's not like a metaphor. It's not good vibes. It's not just a thing that we actually believe. It's a historical event that split history in two. We actually believe that it's an event that is documented, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But I think it's cool. Billy Graham used to say this: the tomb of Christ is one of the only tourist spots on earth that people go to see what is not there. And I think that's cool. You know, it's like, man, where are you going? I'm going to the tomb in Israel. What's there? Nothing. And if you weren't a Christian, you'd be like, that sounds like a waste of money. But actually, the fact that the tomb is empty is one of the greatest things that has ever happened. This morning, probably most of us here are believers, and really my goal is just to help all of us, myself included, fall back in love with what Jesus did. And then in falling in love with what he did, remember that it was him who did it, and fall back in love with him. This Jesus has been so faithful. He's been so faithful to me, not just in concept, but in reality. I've been in the fire, but he was there with me. I've been in the hospital, but he's my healer. I've been in the valley, but I look to the mountaintop. That's where my help comes from. I've lost my peace, but then I gaze into his eyes. I was dead in my sin, but he set me free. Oh, this Jesus is not just alive in a book. He's alive in my life, and that changes everything. And you've heard this before, particularly if you're at any youth conference in the 2000s, but it bears repeating. Muhammad is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Buddha is dead. Marx, Stalin, and Darwin, they're all dead. Wow. You can go to where their bodies are laid. You can't go to where Jesus' body, you can go to where it was laid, not where it is laid. Wow. There are 6,000 world religions active right now, but one empty tomb. And I just think it is the best news ever. As I've been preaching this year, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm becoming enamored once again with how gangster Jesus is. And I say that like reverently. He's like an OG. But it's just like he repeatedly put a stamp of authority on every action he did. Even in his death, he showed authority. Oh man, it gets me pumped. Paul says this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. This is the Eugene Peterson paraphrase. It says, if corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't. Because he was indeed dead. And if Christ wasn't raised, then all you are doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in the grave. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave their cemetery. Can I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Christ, we're going to create an opportunity for you to at the end of the sermon. If you do know Christ, have you left your cemetery? Because you might have said yes to Jesus, but let me tell you, when Jesus sets you free from a grave that you earned, run. So many of us say yes to Jesus and we assure our eternity, but we stay sitting in those rotten grave clothes. We stay in the same location. Resurrection Sunday isn't just about the fact that he's out of the tomb. It's the fact that you're allowed to go as well. You're allowed to leave your tomb. You have full permission. Jesus didn't do it just so that you would go to heaven, even though that was part of it. He's like, let's go. So many believers are like, I believe in Jesus. And Jesus is like, thank you. I appreciate that. Do you want to leave? Nah. I've gotten comfy in my cave. I've gotten comfy. I've actually gotten used to the smell of this linen, these grave clothes. Jesus is saying, hey, it's not just Resurrection Sunday for me. It's Resurrection Sunday for us. Because if we were crucified with Christ, then we partake in his resurrection. I love the way Eugene puts it. Let's get out of the cemetery. Can I give you five reasons why you can trust the resurrection? Sometimes we don't talk about this, but the resurrection of Christ is like so legit. I don't mean legit as in it happened, it did. I mean legit as in it's recorded by non-Christian people. The first reason that you can trust the resurrection is the caution of Rome. The caution of Rome. I think I've accidentally put the caution of the Rome, which makes no sense. And it's because, it's because I was tossing up between saying the caution of the Romans or the caution of Rome. And I didn't decide on one. And then I sent it to Paige. And so if you're new in this place, I can spell. I'm good at sentence structure sometimes. I'm not really. It is, if you think about it is wild that the Romans sent a cohort to guard a tomb of a dead man. They were nervous that maybe the zealots would take the body and then spread a false rumor that Jesus was alive. But really also, if you look into the text, there wasn't a guard there. There was probably 20 to 30 guards guarding the tomb of one dead guy. Why was Rome so nervous? What were they cautious about? Number two is the faith of the disciples can assure us in the resurrection. I want to tell you something. You don't volunteer your life to martyrdom, be thrown to the Colosseum, be burnt alive if you haven't seen what you've said you've seen. For 30, 40, 50 years post Jesus, we see some of the most laid down radical believers of all time that turned the world upside down. You don't do that if you haven't seen something. The acts of the disciples, the acts of the apostles, the acts of the Holy Spirit, it can actually affirm the resurrection of Christ. Reason three, there was multiple post-resurrection appearances. Paul actually writes, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. When Paul says that, what he's actually saying to people is go and talk to the guys that saw him post-cross. He's actually saying of the 500, many of them are still alive. Don't take my word for it. Go talk to people who have literally looked at the risen Christ. Is this encouraging? It's encouraging me. Reason four, secular history books confirm it. Whether it's Josephus, Thomas Arnold, or Frank Morrison, I could give you many, many more, not believing, well, Frank Morrison actually does now, but many of them not believing, they record that there were sightings and he did indeed come back. Frank Morrison was a historian and was very taken with the Christ and with Jesus and so he went about writing a book to disprove everything to do with the resurrection. And in his future book, after his conversion to Christianity, he wrote this. I had been brought up in a rationalistic environment and had come to the opinion that the resurrection was nothing but a fairy tale happy ending which spoiled the matchless story of Jesus. Therefore, I planned to write an account of the last tragic days of Jesus. But when I came to study the facts with care, I had to change my mind. And I wrote my book on the other side. My first chapter is significantly called The Book That Refused to be Written. Once again, secular, anti-resurrection, anti-Christian studies the facts of the cross, becomes a believer, and then writes a book to convince people that Jesus is alive. The power of the resurrection. Reason number five, the missing body was never found. Robert Morris talks about this, and it's a good point. All Rome needed to do to disprove Jesus was find the body. And Rome was good at finding bodies and displaying them and sending messages. Thank you. Marco's thought about doing that with Gian often. I feel bad, he's not here. these reasons change everything. These reasons should stir your faith. However, I do want to highlight one thing. It doesn't matter how much rationale, how much research, how many documents you find, you will still need faith in this Christian walk. But I just want to encourage you, maybe if you're new in your faith, this isn't actually something that's like a fairy tale that no one buys into. There was a man called Jesus, and he was either a liar or he was God. Who do you say he is this morning? I say he's God. Let's read together about that fateful day. Luke 24, starting in this gospel, Dr. Luke says this. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body was not there. I want to say this morning. The stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out of a cave. It was rolled away so we could get into the kingdom. This morning, even though we're not there, even though we're not currently walking through Mesopotamia, would you imagine with me, and I've never been there, I want to, but would you imagine with me gazing at that place? And you can go there and you can look, and I've talked to people that have, and they say that the faith that swells on the inside of you when you look into that empty tomb is mind-boggling. And this morning, metaphorically, I invite you to look at the empty tomb, gaze at the claims of Jesus, and tell me what you see. Tell me what you feel. I know we're a church, and I know you've heard many times that he is alive and he is risen and the tomb is empty. But for a moment, would you dwell on the fact that God got up? Would you dwell on the fact that the stone was rolled away? Would you dwell on the fact that Jesus has defeated death, hell, and the grave? And he didn't walk out of that tomb for him. He walked out of that tomb for you. So it's just as one man, Adam, got us into this, one man will get us out. This morning you've been set free of your sin, of your lack, of your pain, of your addiction, of your trauma. Not because of any good work, not because of any worship song or any church, because Jesus decided that he'd pay the greatest price and walk out of the tomb. C.S. Lewis, it is, quotes, "If we're wrong about this, then we've lived a good life with good morals. If we're wrong about this, but if we're right, oh, the stakes are high, friend. The stakes are high." Is the resurrection something that motivates you daily or yearly? I've been challenged this week as I've been studying this out. I'm like, whoa, like Jesus bankrupted heaven for me. How much time do I spend looking at my finances? How much time do I spend looking at social stuff? How much time do I spend when really probably all of us need to more often look into the empty tomb? Yes. And our response to that, oh, it might just shock you. He is who he says he is. We keep reading. It says, while they were perplexed about this, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Wow. And they were frightened and bowed their faces. And the men said to them, if you're new to this story, these weren't men, these were angels. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This is the biggest challenge from the angels, and it echoes through to us at Kingdom Culture here today. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Oh, friend, living water never comes from man-made wells. And this Easter Sunday, I want to ask, are you looking for life where life does not reside? Our status is great, but true life is not there. Money's a good tool, but true life is not there. Friends are great, but true life is not there. Jesus is the only place where you can have living water, and we have a thirsty generation. We have a region that's desperate, but they don't know what they're looking for. And if the church of Jesus Christ doesn't gaze at him often enough, we won't reflect him well. Yeah. Easter's awesome, but Easter's also a rallying cry. What I love about Easter is it's not anymore an event. The event happened. It's just a reminder. For the believer, it's just a reminder. For the believer, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Tomorrow's Resurrection Monday. Praise God. Every Friday is good. If Fridays are good, every Friday is good. This is not a calendar event. It's encouraging us to live. If you're a believer, it's an encouragement to live your life in remembrance of what he did. Yeah. Every year we get to refocus. It's good towards the start of the year and go, oh man, that's right. You paid it all. Yeah. All to you I owe. Yeah. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. I love how the angels challenge the people at the tomb. Angelic ministry always accompanied Jesus' life and ministry. Angels said to Mary that Jesus will be born. Angels told the shepherds, hey, the Christ is coming. Angels ministered to Jesus when he was in the desert. And angels, I like to picture them sitting up on the stone. This is not biblical. Just like, hey, he's not here. He did what he said he would. Can you imagine heaven the moment Jesus did what he said he would do? I mean, obviously God and the Holy Spirit were like, our guy. But I wonder if some of the lower tier angels, I don't know if there's tiers of angels, but I wonder if some of the lower tier angels were like, oh, he did it. He did it. Michael and Gabriel were probably like, of course he did it. What are you talking about? No, totally. I know. But I mean, you know, it's full on plan. There was those 400 years of prophetic silence. You know, we knew, but you know, just run. Can you imagine hell? Can you imagine the devil? I like, Pastor Jesse was talking about the Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson's pretty extra. I love how when Jesus does it, it like cuts to the devil, like in this like Arkansas desert, like screaming and like a wig comes off and stuff. It's awesome. But what's crazy is I reckon it was a bit like that. I reckon when Jesus was on the cross, I reckon all of hell and every demon was like, oh, maybe we've done it. Maybe we've restricted it. They didn't realize that they were empowering the very thing that would set us free. The very thing. Jesse talked about him getting whipped and him getting lashed. I reckon that's what got Jesus through those moments was he was like, I'm setting humanity free. And I don't want to do this, which is, it says that he didn't want to do it. But hey, not my will, your will be done. I care about these people. I don't know about you, that excites me. Can you imagine the scenes? Jesus is alive and that changes everything. They call it the Garden Tomb. It's adjacent to Skull Hill or Golgotha where they believe Jesus was crucified. I think we got a photo this morning of it in modern day. That's it, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea that was given under Jesus. And I love that a garden is there now. Unfortunately, Brandon Lake has stolen my thunder slightly as I was preparing this. I'm like, oh man, the gardens and graves, damn it. But it's still a good point. So pretend you've never heard the song. I was going to sing. I'm not going to sing. But we know he turns graves into gardens. The women are coming to weep, but he is risen. Tombs represent death, but God was bringing them back to Eden. It's I know it's simple, right? But it's good news. Like if Jesus just came back, great. We're good. I don't have to go to hell if I say yes to Jesus. Great. I mean, but Jesus lavishes his love on us. Hey, not only am I back, and if you believe in me, you'll have eternal security, but also I'm going to turn those things around in your life. Also the things that have died, I'm going to plant a garden. Hey, remember back in the day when we used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day? Welcome back. Hey, that veil, I don't need to, but I'm going to tear a 30-centimeter leather veil in the temple just because it's gangster and I can, and I want you to understand that you now have access. Oh, I would have just been pumped with the whole no hell thing. But Jesus said, oh, you can now walk with me. You can now talk with me. You don't need 101 atonements. I am the atonement. You don't need 101 religious things. I am the lamb that was slain so you could walk with me in the cool of the day. And that changes everything. And if it was just those first two, I'd be like, praise God. But he invited us to help him with the mission. What is happening? Like I would have praised him forever just for step one. Yeah. I cannot believe he gave us the step two. Yeah. And then he said, oh, by the way, now that I'm back, what's up? And like hundreds of people saw it. He's like, greater things than me will you do. Yeah. Go and wait. Pentecost Sunday's in like 2 months. It's going to be ridiculous. Go and wait. I'm going to send you the helper. If I was the boys, I would have been like, sorry, what? So we're now going to heaven. You've like invited us back into relationship with you that we can do daily. Yes. And you're going to deploy us on your kingdom mission?
Yeah.
Nah, this is too good. This is too good. I love Peter so much. I know I always talk about it. I got to wrap up. But I just can imagine it. The other guy's like, wow, you know. Like Dr. Luke's like, wow, this is significant. Peter's like, kingdom mission. I'm ready. But then he shows them on Pentecost, preaches, and 3,000 people say yes to Jesus. They baptize 3,000 people that day. Oh, Resurrection Sunday is good in of itself because Jesus came back. It's wild in of itself because he invited us into relationship, but it is scandalous in its goodness where it said, hey, tag, you're it. Hey, I'm going back to heaven to my Father. I'm going to send you a helper and you go and do the things I've been doing.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I would have taken just the first one. I know I've done this thing a few times now, but it's wild.
Yeah.
Resurrection Sunday isn't just about remembrance, it's about deployment.
Great. Yeah. Good, right? Yeah, it's good.
If you're not saved in this place, it's about salvation. In John, it says this, John 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look at the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been at the end, one at the head and one at the foot. Okay, so they were kind of doing like a theatrical thing. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? And she said, they have taken my Lord away. She said, I don't know where they have put him. Can you feel the love Mary had? Yeah. They've taken my Lord. I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was him. Christian, do not let your grief stop you seeing Jesus. Don't let your season obscure you. He's always there. He's always there. If I can be bold this morning, he's there on your worst day. He's there when the family member passes away. He's there in the diagnosis. He's there in the miscarriage. He's there in the bankruptcy. He's there in the trauma. He's there. And I'm not encouraging you to not have emotions about the things of life. I'm encouraging you to turn around. Because you will see there is a Savior there with holes in his hands and a pierce in his side. And he'll say, hey, you good? No, Jesus, not really. Oh, it's cool. I'm here. We're in the garden. I got you. I love what Jesus says to her. He said, woman, why are you crying? Husbands, never say that. And then Jesus, dude, Jesus is cheeky, man. Who are you looking for? Like, okay, Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus is theatrical, man? Do you remember when he's on the road to Emmaus with Cleopas and his wife? And he's like, oh, really? The Christ. He did all these things. Say that with reverence unto the Lord. Thinking he was the gardener, which isn't fully incorrect. She said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. And this verse, when I was preparing it this week, made me get emotional. It probably will again. Jesus said, Mary. Please remember that Jesus has just defeated death, hell, and the grave. He is a little bit unrecognizable. Multiple people don't recognize him, so clearly he looked different. And his daughter is in distress. I don't know where my Jesus is. I don't know what's happened. He doesn't say, it's me. He doesn't say, look. He just says, Mary. And she turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. I want to encourage you this morning that in the midst of splitting history, Jesus takes time to call us by name. In the middle of one of the most incredible thing that has ever happened in the history of our planet, Jesus went, hold up. I can feel the heart of my daughter, Mary. There's two encouragements there. One is that he's never too busy. And two is he knows your name. I don't know about you. I just think that this Easter season is laced with miracle after miracle. But also as I read this story, I realize it's laced with kindness after kindness. Yes. Intent after intent. Why don't you stand this morning? If the team could come and join me. I'm going to do a salvation call in a second, a recommitment call, but before I do that, I want to ask you something, because I feel like we got some Marys in the house. And what I mean by that is that I feel like we got some people who love Jesus. Mary clearly loved Jesus. She clearly knew him, but the season was obscuring her Savior. I just wonder this morning if we got a couple people and you're going through it. I just wonder if we've got some people and life is doing its best to obscure the person of Jesus from you. We're going to check if everyone here is saved, but then I'm also going to just check that you, if your season is obscuring Jesus, I'd love to pray for you. It doesn't mean you're less spiritual. It doesn't mean you're less holy. Sometimes seasons are full on. Sometimes the pain is real. But I promise Jesus is standing behind you. And he's calling you by name. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I'd love to create a moment for you to respond to him. Now, as we always say, we're not going to call you out of your seat. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. Also, I want to, on this Resurrection Sunday, I think there's some relationships with the Lord that need to be resurrected. Some people that maybe you've even been at church, but you're not walking with God in the cool of the day. You're not actually stepping into what Jesus has for you. Maybe you used to, but it's not happening as regularly. So if either of those two groups are you, you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or you want to resurrect your, not even your love of Jesus, but your relationship, you're walking with him, you're communing with him, on the count of three, what I want you to do is just give me a quick wave. I'd love everyone just to close their eyes, bow their heads so people have privacy in this moment. And I'm going to count to three. And if that's you in this place and you'd say, yeah, I need to respond or I need to recommit my life to Jesus. On the count of three, I ask you just give me a wave and then pop your hand back down. One, God, I thank you this morning that you are alive and that changes everything. Lord, thank you that you said in scripture, right now is the time of salvation. Two, I thank you for boldness across this room for people to say yes to you. Three, if that's you, would you just give me a wave in this place? Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else this morning that would say, hey, yeah, I need to turn around and see Jesus? God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. Jesus. Well, church, can we just celebrate? Three or four people just said yes to Jesus. Praise God.
Thank you so much for listening to the KCC podcast. I really hope that this message blessed you. It really blessed me, and that you had an awesome Easter. We love you all, and we'll see you soon.